37, if you have your Bible. Thank you, Brother Bill. Y'all did a good job tonight. You have a lot of good help. Amen. Psalm 37, if you will. I want to preach to you tonight for a little bit. I'm going to call it, this is what I'm going to call it. Write it down, son. You still with me back there? Okay. I'm going to call it, I have fallen, but I will get up. Amen. You remember the TV commercial? I'm falling, I can't get up. I have fallen, but I will get up. Amen. And I want to talk to you. You'll read the whole Psalm 37, and I'm going to skip through it. I'll get a lot of it tonight, but I won't get the whole Psalm. You need to read it. It's such a blessing to know what God does for the believer. Amen. And after this morning, I thought I would bring you a sweet message after I beat you up so bad this morning. One fellow said, I cut him up one side, and then I cut him down the other, and then I rubbed salt in it. And so I think I'll pour a little balm of Gilead on you tonight and soothe your wounds, all right? Psalm 37, look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Yeah. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, like I said, you ought to read it all for the sake of time. Verse 23, go to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's your order. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved, underline that, forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Yes, we do. Psalm 37, verse 1. He says, don't let wicked people worry you. Don't fret over them. In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord. In verse 4, he says, delight thyself in the Lord. In verse 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. In verse 6, it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness. In verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. In verse 8, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And then we get over, if you want to look at it, and I'm not going to preach on it, but verse 13, he says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Talking about the wicked. Now, after the new birth comes a new life. Would you agree with me on that? That's what the new birth produces, is new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So you have a new life. Would you say amen? Somebody help me.
Amen.
Now this is a good crowd tonight. I expect to hear the amens, not the oh me's, okay? But after the new birth comes a new life. But even then, it's not perfection. It's not the perfect life. It's a new life. It's a different life. It's a better life. It's a more holy life. But it still is not the perfect life as the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect yet.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Now, just as the natural man grows and he learns how to walk, and he falls down and he gets up, and he falls down and he gets up, the spiritual man, the new man, learns how to grow and learns how to walk and falls and gets up and falls and gets up. But it never says he quits.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said he was down, but he was not out.
Amen.
Now, the new life is a spiritual life. And just as the natural man falls while he's learning, the spiritual man's going to fall while you're learning. Nobody was saved yesterday and got perfection yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
We've all learned on this road. We've all grown. It's called growing in grace. It's called progressive sanctification. If you keep getting back up, you're going to be okay. Now, just as the father of the natural man wouldn't cast that son or daughter off because they fail, but would help them up, so does the father of the spiritual man. When he falls, God doesn't cast him off. He lifts him up. Y'all see that? We just read that. Now, who is this man that failed in this passage of Scripture? That would be my question today. Look at verse 24 again. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, who is this man? Who is this man? Well, I read it to you. In verse 3, he's the man that trusts the Lord. In verse 4, he's the man or woman, mankind. They're the person that not only trusts, but delights in the Lord. It's not a burden when you're a child of God to serve God, to read your Bible, to pray, to go to church. You delight to have the ability and the blessing to do such things. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 5, this is a man that commits himself to the Lord. Very little commitment nowadays among Christians. He commits himself to the Lord. This is a man, verse 7, it says, he rests in the Lord. Now, here's how you get this settled. When you rest in Him, that means you put it all on Him. And you make up your mind, if I die and go to hell, it's going to be trust in Him and nothing else. If I starve to death, it'll be trust in Him and nothing else. If I fail as a Christian, I fall and I never get up again, it will be resting in Him and Him alone. And you'll never fail if you'll do that. See,
amen.
I rested in the Lord March 5th, 1978. I didn't know that's what it was. But that day, Brother Bill, I put it all on Him. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know there was a virgin birth. I didn't know there was a sinless life. I didn't know a thing called vicarious atonement. I didn't know a thing called the bodily resurrection. I didn't know a whole lot about Him coming back. I'd heard about it. I didn't know about godly living. I didn't know anything about having a Christian home. But I knew this. I once was lost, but now I was found, and I was resting in that and that alone, because I knew I couldn't be good enough to be saved, and I knew I couldn't be good enough to stay saved. Amen. So this man rests in the Lord. Then in verse 8, it says this man ceases from anger and he forsakes wrath. That means the love of God moved into this man.
Amen.
The love of God came in. When the love of God comes in, the anger and the hate and the wrath, there's no room for that with the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, help me here.
Yes,
this is the man we're talking about that failed. See? And then in verse 11, it says he was meek. Now, most people don't know what that means. Here's a simple explanation of meek. He admits he is not the best.
Come on now. Yeah.
Now, that's meekness.
Amen.
A lot of people, they talk about meekness because they don't do this, they don't do that. But true meekness is when you say, I know I'm not worth going to heaven. I know I'm not the best Christian in this room. I know I'm not the best prayer. I know I'm not the best liver. That's meekness when you do that. Because when you're doing that, you're really acknowledging that you're spiritual. Because unspiritual people would never admit that, see. So this man's meek. He's not proud. He's not boastful. He's not arrogant. He's not self-promoting. Boy, have we not met people like that. Amen? And then verse 23 says, God is now in charge of his life. Look at it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. This man right here, he has put it in God's hand, and he's happy to do it. Amen? A lot of people, I don't understand them. Well, I do kind of, and I have doubts, and that maybe sometimes ought not about people. But they don't ever get that. They never put God in charge of their life. Now, they're fine with giving him their eternal salvation, getting that. They're fine with him giving them a seat in heaven, but they never let go of the reins of their life. And even when they say they're letting go, they just let them hang loose, and they're going to grab them anytime.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Come on, help me. This is my amen corner over here. Help me. Help me. I got all these people laid out tonight. I need some help here. Okay? So that's the man we're looking at. This is the kind of person that God's talking about. He's not talking about a professor of salvation. He's talking about a possessor of salvation. He's not talking about somebody that is more down than they are up. He's talking about somebody, he's not talking about people that dive into sin, but he's talking about people that fall into sin, and we could all do that. We all have. Now, he's not talking about somebody that's self-righteous. He's talking about somebody that realizes they have fallen. Now, most Christians, when they fall, they never get up. Professing. Let's say professing. Would you help me say, would you agree with that, Doc? Professor. Professor. Okay. Let's say professor. Now, I started preaching in 1981. I was saved in 1978. I preached in 1980, but I was licensed to preach in 81 and then ordained. And I have seen a lot of people fall and never get up. They fall and never get up. So that makes me wonder, has God let them down? Did God tell a lie? No. Here's my thought on that. If you can fall and don't get up, it means you was never up in the first place. Because God's give us a promise. He did. It says it right there. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. How in the world can you say that you're a Christian and me find you in a bar and you said you got saved when you was 8 years old and you've been living like that since you were 16 years old, now you're 50 years old, there's something wrong with that picture. Well, he just fell. Maybe he never was up to start with.
Right.
And then everybody looks at us Baptists and they say, well, y'all believe you can do anything you want to, once saved, always saved. Yeah, but we don't know who's saved. And if you can get down and you don't get up, either God lied or you're mistaken. And there's lots of people out there that are mistaken. Now, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. We've all fallen and come short of the glory of God. We've all spent days at it, sometimes weeks at it. Maybe you've even spent months or years at it. But you didn't stay there. God wouldn't let you. Just like this father wouldn't let his children stay there. I've been places and got my children. But I knew it was going to be trouble and they didn't need to be there. So I went and got them. Amen?
Amen.
This father is not going to let his children perish. Amen? Come on, help me.
Amen.
Amen. Linda Clinton was down there at the Dewdrop Inn. You knew it. You'd go down there and snatch a snatch a knot in his head and say, "You ain't staying down here. I'll beat you. I'll scream. I'll holler. I'll fuss. I'll cry. I'll drag your hide out of here by the head of the hair. I'm not letting you stay down here. You're better than this, and you don't have to be like this, and I'm not going to allow it. You're my child." And Hebrews chapter 12 says God's a better father than we are. He's a better parent than we are. Amen? Bill, I know you'd do that with your boy. If you was found out he was over at some club, you'd go down there and you, if you could get down there before your wife, you'd go down there and clean house. They just said, she's packing. But listen, now what happens when a child of God, born again, saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, loved by the grace of God, blessed by the grace of God, what happens when that person falls into sin? Well, I just read to you, verse 24, he says, "I will not allow it to destroy you." Now, he may allow you to fall, like the prodigal son. Did you know that father could have fought that boy and not give him a dime? He went to his dad and said, "I want all that you, I'm going to inherit, and I want it right now before you die." And his dad, I don't see where his daddy argued. He gave him the money, and he let him go. But every day, he'd walk out to the end of the driveway, down south, you know, he lived down south. He'd walk out to the end of the driveway, and he'd look for his son to come back. You know why? He knew his son was coming home. He didn't know when, but he knew that boy wasn't going to stay down there because he'd raised him better than that. And he knew one day that boy was going to wake up and fall in love with his father again, because he'd see how this world really didn't love him. People in this world didn't love him. They wanted to use him. And he woke up and he said, "I'm going back to my father's house." And his daddy didn't beat him when he come home. He knew he was coming home. It doesn't say it in Scripture, but it said he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. And I think I could add a few words there and say, "I'm glad to see you, son. I knew you was coming home." He knew it. He knew it. He didn't cast him off. You know what he said? "Go kill the fatted calf. Bring a ring and put it on that boy's finger." That ring represented authority and family. That ring, that was the family signet. It represented that family. "Go get that ring. Put it back on that boy. He's done sold his. He threw it away. Let's get him another one. And let's have a party, because my son, who once was lost, is now found. He was dead. Now he's alive. And let's have a celebration." And that is exactly like God the Father. I think if you're one of his, you'll come back. Sometimes I go see people, I mean, on a sick bed or in terrible circumstances, and I'll say, "Well, let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever been saved?" And they'll say, "Yeah. I got saved when I was a little boy or a little girl or whatever." I'll say, "Well, do you know for sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven?" And most of them will say, "No, they're not sure," because they've really never been saved. But if a backslider's been saved, they know it. And they'll say, "Yeah, I've been saved. I've just got a long way from the Lord." And I'll say, "You know, that's what puts you where you are today." And a real child of God will say, "Yeah." They won't blame it on mama. They won't blame it on daddy. They won't blame it on the pastor. They won't blame it on the government or the police or politician. They'll say, "I'm getting exactly what I deserve. God is whipping me and trying to get me back where I ought to be." Amen. Some of y'all be shouting, "That's what found you." You ought to be shouting, "Amen." Amen. Some of y'all been there. You've been down the pig pen. You got as low as you could go. And then you heard that voice singing, "Come home. Come home." He didn't cast y'all. Matter of fact, while you were there, you should have died. If you'd have got what you was headed toward and what you deserved, you'd have died. But what does the Bible say? He'll hold you up with his hand. The whole time you was there, the devil and the world and the flesh and everybody else was wanting you dead, God had his hand under you, holding you up while you were falling. And then he lifted you up. Amen? Now, look at verse 25. I have been young and now am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Look at verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now, if you're in my Sunday school class, you know you don't have any righteousness. That's his righteousness. He imputes that to you. He gives that to you. So you have his righteousness. Now, I want you to know something. Look at that verse 28 again. For the Lord loveth judgment. In other words, he don't love giving up on people. He would rather judge you and chasten you than to give up on you. And hypocrites will look at us and say, well, you can't judge me. And I think, you're not a child of God. If you were a child of God, you would say, pray for me. God's judging me right now.
Amen.
I'm being chastened by the Lord. And it says God loveth judgment. Why? He forsaketh not his saints. See, if God didn't love you, he'd let you go. But instead, he judges you when you fall, and he says, all right, you're falling. Now, get up.
That's what he said.
And I'm going to help you. My hand is under you. Get up. I don't think a child of God can stay down when they fall. I really don't. Now, I'm not saying I don't think God that a child of God can't fall. They can. We all do. Everybody falls. The Bible says even a good man falls seven times. Seven times a perfect, a complete number. So that means to me that even a good man, if he's complete, he's done at least seven falls since he's believed. And don't sit there and act like you haven't. I mean, the worst thing in the world is a hypocrite. Amen. Just because you got saved, you don't have no angel wings. You ain't got no halo. There ain't nobody floating around on a cloud in here. Amen. We're all saved by the grace of God and kept by the grace of God. And if it was not for the grace of God upholding us, we'd fall and stay down just like the rest of them. I told y'all that story. I used to, when my mama lived off Springdale Road, there in Lancaster, I'd go see her every week, you know, once a week. And I was riding down Springdale Road, and I saw this guy walking down the road, and he looked like he was straight out of 1972. He had the big old bell-bottom, wore out on the bottom, blue jeans, you know, and he had on the hippie shirt, and he had on that hair, you know, all the way down to here, and he had a liquor bottle sticking out of this pocket and a bandana out of this pocket, and I thought to myself, there goes my old friend Tommy that I grew up with, Tommy Estes. Looks just like him. Can't be, though. He wouldn't look like that no more. And as I got past him, I looked in the mirror, it was him. He had not changed since he was 16 years old. He started doing drugs when he was 16, and he stopped maturing. By the way, that's a sign right there. When people stop maturing. I saw a 70-year-old man with an earring the other day. I thought he might be, his little body might look 70, but his brain ain't but 15. Amen. Somewhere along the line, people get into sin, they stop growing. And he had stopped growing, and I picked him up. I said, Tommy Estes. He said, Ronnie Roddy, I haven't seen you since the eighth grade. I said, well, here I am. I said, you want to ride? He said, yeah. He got in. He said, I said, how you been doing? He said, I ain't been doing too good. He said, how you been doing? He said, I heard you done got religion, become some kind of preacher or something. I said, well, I didn't get religion. I am a preacher. I got saved. He said, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I said, Tommy, have you ever been saved? He said, I tried that when I was in jail. It didn't work. He'd been to the penitentiary. He'd been to the penitentiary 5 or 10 years for drugs. And while he was in there, he thought, boy, I'll get a little Jesus. I'll be all right. But it don't work that way. He didn't get saved. He didn't get born again. So now he was living under an old, I call them turtle shells that goes on the back of a pickup truck, those little campers you put on the back of your pickup truck.
in the wintertime. He's living under one next door to some kinfolks of mine, and they let him run a drop cord out there so he could put a light in and stay warm at night by it. He was a crackhead. It had destroyed his life. And eventually he died under that. He died up under that, I call it, turtle shell camper. He died. They found him dead under there. I don't know if he froze to death or what. But let me tell you something. That boy didn't know the same God I knew. Before he got his card, I gave him my card with my name and address, phone number. I said, "Tommy, I want you to call me. I want to take you to lunch. I want to talk to you more about this." He had me let him out in an abandoned trailer, and I think that's where he's buying his crack. And I let him out there, and I never saw him again until I read that he had died, and then I found out how he died. But you see, that's what the world thinks is Christianity. He went to a sermon. They had a little service at jail. They told him, if you pray this prayer, you're going to be all right. So he prayed the prayer. There was no faith in Christ. There was no surrender to Christ. He didn't put his life in God's hands. He kept it in his own hands. But he said a prayer. And when he gets out of jail, he falls again. And he never gets back up.
Look at verse 33. Thou will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. He's talking about the wicked. He won't leave saved people in the hands of the wicked. He won't do it. Look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off and shalt see it. Look at the first part of that verse. Wait on the Lord. See that? You say, well, that's easy, but wait a minute. Keep his way. You know what you do when you fall? You keep on going. You say, God, I failed. I knew what I was doing when I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I knew I shouldn't do it whenever before I did it, but I did it anyway. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not me. That's the old me. And I don't want to be like that, God. And get back up, read your Bible, pray, go to church, and start over.
Yes, sir.
You can start over every day.
Amen.
And so he says, now, yeah, you failed, but I'm not going to let the wicked have you.
I have been attacked every way you can imagine. People will pick, now I'm the pastor, and that's why. But people will find things wrong with the pastor, and they'll pick it like a little old hen, picking it something over and over and over and over. And look, you got to quit worrying about what other people think and what they say. And yeah, when you fall, you fail. They say, well, I understand you did this, you did that. You said, yeah, I did. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong to do that. But I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'm not quitting. I'm going to go on.
Amen.
Help me.
Right.
We don't have to be defeated. Don't worry about what the wicked say. Why would you care what the wicked say? They don't love you. They don't care anything about you. Your goodness is not in their heart. They're out to destroy you to prove they're right and you're wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, preacher, I fell down and everybody turned against me. The Lord didn't turn against you.
Hey,
come on, man.
Who else you need?
Hey.
Amen.
Look at verse 37. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Now when he got upright, the beginning was peace. And when he dies, the end's going to be peace. But that doesn't mean everything in the middle is going to be peace. Matter of fact, Jesus warned us about that. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said, they killed me. They're going to kill you. And then you quit going to church. You say, and you get into sin, and the pastor comes to see you, and you say, Brother Rod, people talked about me and hurt my feelings. Well, it ain't over yet. I have outlasted so many, you wouldn't believe it. And you will outlast those same people who are criticizing you and talking about you. 20 years from now, they'll be down in the dumps, in the mud, dead or whatever, and you'll still be upheld by the hand of the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Just keep pressing on the upward way. Amen. Now look at verse 39. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble.
Preacher, I fell. I don't know how to get up. Look to the Lord.
The salvation of the Lord is in Him, not in you. Did y'all get that? He saved you knowing that you were going to do what you just did.
Amen.
Because your salvation is in Him, not you. You wasn't good enough to get saved. You're not going to be good enough to stay saved. You're never going to be good enough to even claim to be saved without the righteousness of Jesus Christ through His shed blood. He was the only one that was worthy, and He has given that to you. It's in Him. So you fall, and when you fall, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I sinned. I knew what I was doing when I did it. I shouldn't have done it. And I'm probably going to be criticized for it. And I'm going to be talked bad about it. And I'm going to lose things. I understand that. But I'm not stopping here because my salvation is not in that sin. My salvation is not in me. And my loss of salvation is not in that sin. And the loss of salvation is not in me. You promised to uphold me with your right hand of righteousness in Isaiah 41:10. And my salvation is in you and you alone. It's not in that. Nor the loss thereof. You say, preacher, you're giving people the license to sin. People don't pray like that want license to sin.
Right.
People don't even think like this that want license to sin. You probably won't find them at church on Sunday night. That don't mean everybody here, you know, I'm just saying. But people that want license to sin, it's hard to get them in church. Wanda made fun of me today. And she wasn't looking for a license to sin. She came through that door and I said, I'm glad to see you here today. She said, well, I ought to be here after two text messages and two Facebook messages and two Facebook posts. I had to come. I figure if I can't be a good preacher, I can be a good aggravator. Amen. Aggravation motivates people to do things. Amen? But look here. Look at verse 39. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Now let's be honest. Okay, let's be honest. Ain't nobody here but us and Facebook. And if they were in church, they'd be honest too. We're going to fall. It's our inclination to fall. It's our fleshly desires that cause us to fall. And we're still in the flesh. That's why in the flesh no man can please God. But in the Spirit we can.
Amen.
He says if you'll walk in the Spirit, as He's in the Spirit, that you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. If we crucify that flesh and count it dead as it ought to be, but still occasionally the old dead man will raise up. If we're honest Christians, we'll say, I have sinned. Three hardest words to ever say, I have sinned. And here's a good thing though, if the Holy Spirit lives in you when you do sin, it really doesn't feel good. You find no joy in that sin when it's all over. And you say, Lord, I don't know why I did that. I don't like doing that anymore. I don't enjoy doing that anymore. It doesn't please me or give me satisfaction anymore to sin against you. God, forgive me. Well, you just fell down. You got back up. Next time, you won't fall as easy. At least in that area. And the Lord upholds you with His hand. When Charity and them was living in Florida, y'all pray for them, they need to get in church. They bought Rhett a bicycle. Now, Rhett's smartest little boy I've ever known, honestly. It's not just because he's my grandson, though that does make him smart.
Oh, handsome too. He looks just like me when I was little. He's the handsome. But he got that bicycle, and he was determined he was not going to keep those training wheels on that bicycle. You know, little old bicycle. You know, he was 4 years old. He said, "Papa, Papa, take my training wheels off my bicycle." I said, "I can't do that, Rhett. You'll fall." He said, "No, you'll hold me up." I went out there and took the training wheels off. And he didn't know it. I said, "All right, Rhett, I'm going to hold it up till you get on, then I'm going to let you go." So he'd get on and he'd take off and I'd run with him. I said, "Doing good, you're doing good." And then I'd let go, he'd fall. "Paw-paw, I fail." I said, "All right, you'll do better next time." So we get back down there at the end of the road. I'd hold him up. I said, "Get on." And he'd take off and I'd run with him. I'd let him go. He'd go a little bit farther. He'd fall again. And then the next time, he'd go a little bit farther. It took me, I don't know, maybe 2 hours. He must have failed 6 times. But on that last time, he's going all over that road. And then old pride gets in him. He says, "Look, Paul, Paul, crash." I said, "Rhett, when you're riding bicycle, you don't look backwards, you'll crash." But then the next time, I didn't have to help him get on nor stay up. And I was so proud of him. Here's what we need to start doing. Start looking at God as your Heavenly Father. And He's not so much counting your falls as He is your getting ups. Because He knows eventually you're going to ride it on your own. Don't let other people intimidate you when they criticize you for your shortcomings and your falls. You have one judge. Amen. And we just read scripture. He loves judgment. You know why? He wants to help you, so He has to judge you so He can help you.
Amen.
Look at verse 40 and I'll quit. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And He shall deliver them from the wicked."
Thank you,
"and save them because they trust in Him."
Amen.
Not them, Him. You can fall, but you can get back up if you trust Him. Not you. Quit looking at you. Yeah, you're a sorry Christian. Ain't we all sometimes? Yeah, you're a failure. Aren't we all sometimes? Yeah, you got down. Don't we all get down sometimes? Yeah, you knew what you was doing. We all knew what we were doing. But it's not the end. It's just a fall. Get up. Get up. Get up! I'm so tired of Christians wallowing in their self-pity. "Well, you know, I will be a Christian, but..." No, you're not a Christian because you don't want to get up. "Well, I would sing in the choir, but I got this sin in my life and I can't get over it." No, you don't want to get over it. You've fallen and you don't want to get up. I hear people say, "Well, God called me to preach, you know, but I can't preach because I've got this in my life." You don't want to preach. You fail and you don't want to get up. You want to wallow in your misery. And the world looks at you and says, "God's a liar. He can't keep those people. He does not hold them up," because they lay there wallowing in their self-pity. And then He has to chasten them and make them get up. I just thank God. I really do. I thank God. He shall help them and deliver them because they trust in Him. If you had to be a perfect person to be a Christian, I'm a total failure. If that's what it takes, let's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. But nowhere in the Bible does God require the perfection of a human being. He knows you're going to fail. He knows you're going to fall. He knew that before He saved you. He knew that before He called you to salvation. He knew that before you were born. He knew that before your parents were born. He knew that before the earth was created. He knew that before the sun was hung in space. He knew it before all of creation was put together. He knew you.
Amen.
And he loved you anyway. And he saved you anyway. And he keeps picking you up anyway. Hallelujah.
You say that's a license of sin. You're mistaken. That inspires me not to sin. That inspires me because I love him because he first loved us. I'm inspired. And when I do sin, I hate it. I hate it. I don't look for reasons to justify it. I hate it, and I condemn it, and I admit it, and I confess it, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Amen. This week, some of y'all are going to fall. You're going to fall. Some of you are going to fall. You're going to go to work. Somebody's going to say something to rub you the wrong way, and you're going to say something to rub them back. You ought not say it. Come on. Some of you are going to have opportunity to do good, and you don't do it. Him that knoweth do good is a sin. And you won't do it, and you're going to sin. That's falling. Some of you, some of you are going to do things you know are wrong, and you're going to do them anyway.
Yep.
And that's sin. You're going to fall. But the good news is, you don't have to stay down there.
That's right.
Well, I'm a failure. Join the club. But you're falling. Well, let me help you up.
Right.
We're supposed to love one another. We don't beat each other up. There's people left out of this church as mad at me as they should have been at the devil. But they turned it on me instead and talked bad about me and everything else. If they came in that door today, I would politely love them. I'd be cautious, but I'd love them anyway. And if they'd come to me and say, Pastor, forgive me for what I've done, I'd say, I forgave you before you ever did it. I don't have to forgive you. You say, I don't have to think about forgiving you. I've already done it because he forgave me. I don't have to think about forgiving somebody. When somebody comes by and says, Preacher, forgive me, I say, it's done. It's done before I ever met you. The day I got saved. I can't do anything to anybody. Because I'm forgiven, I done made up my mind. I'm forgiving everybody. Now you listen to me. When you fall, remember, there's a God in heaven that loves you. It's been holding you up. He ain't let you down. His hand's still there. He wants to lift you up. And there's people at your local church wanting to encourage you to stay up. And that's what we're here for. Let's stand. Come on, piano player.